Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Amen. I would just like to begin by saying I am very glad to be here with you all this morning. It is very humbling to know that people are still as well thought of in Christian circles, that they would go what I would term as above and beyond to bring Monica and myself here to fellowship with you and to spend time with mom and dad. So I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the folks that are here today that I haven't seen, that they're just visiting. I honestly don't consider myself worthy of a special visit to church, and it is really humbling. And I have discovered that if you leave yourself open to the leading and guiding of the Lord, you will find that He takes that time to meet you and work with you in your heart. I really appreciate this, and I love you guys. It's so good to have a church family so far away from my own church family. But I stand continually on the promises that the Lord would have family that is hundreds of times better quantity and quality than those family and even friends and things that you need to leave behind, and that sometimes leave you whenever you choose to follow Christ rather than the world. And I want to thank you for it. Before I get into bringing a message, which there is even a little message behind in itself, I just want to give you a little bit of what's going on in Northern Ireland. And again, you helped make that possible. First of all, we are only a small church. I call it a small family church, but that was the church I prayed for whenever I was desperately looking for a church different to the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church and even the Charismatic Church in which I was saved. Yes, you can be saved in churches other than a Baptist church. You really only need the Word of God to be saved. And when I say the Word of God, I mean the King James Bible. That was 30 years ago, just about a month ago. And I've been saved ever since. I didn't know it until I came to the Baptist church. And that was an answer to prayer. And the preacher preached from John chapter 10, where he says, "I have you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out." The next bit always confused me a bit. How can Jesus have me in his hand, and how can my heavenly Father have me in his hand? Well, it's like that. That's the way he keeps you there. He says, "My Father, which is great, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of his hand." And then I thought, you know, it'd be a bit dark and lonely in there, until I remembered that the Holy Spirit dwells within us.
Amen.
We're like Noah's Ark, pitched within and without. I had somebody ask me about Ian Paisley this morning, and I'm not a big fan of denominations because, sadly, they are subject to the man behind the pulpit. But one of the greatest things that I have found, greatest lessons, I think one of the preachers, Pastor Hayne, was speaking about, you tend to learn your best lessons the hardest. The ones the roughest people come at you are the most difficult times, and I learned that in Derry, and this is probably one of the things that has really, really hit home with me over the years. I know there is a great push at this particular, right the way across the world, to make all forms of immorality acceptable. And I want to say before we go any further, it doesn't matter what color the wrapping paper the world puts on it, and it doesn't matter the size of the bow the world puts on it. Sin is still sin.
Amen.
But there's only three churches of the 27 odd churches that are in or around our little town, and it is only a little town. There's 27 non-Catholic churches. There's only three denominations ever turn up, and only one of the three Baptist churches in the town, only one ever turns up. To reach out to these folks whenever they have their shameful gay pride parades, to people that are literally as far down as a person can go before Lord, the Lord just says, I'm done with you. There's only three churches that ever send anybody to reach out to these lost souls. And that's the Free Presbyterian Church, an Independent Methodist Church, and Bethel Baptist Church. And it breaks my heart and sadly makes me a little bit cynical sometimes whenever men of God stand up and say, I believe this, and I believe the Bible says this, because, as they used to say, actions speak louder than words. And sadly, for much of the Christian element in Northern Ireland, the actions have indeed spoken louder than words. And the churches literally only exist to make sure the churches exist. They don't exist to reach out to lost souls. They don't exist to see their countrymen and their families living right for God. And they don't exist to, oh goodness, I wish we had a prime minister like Trump in our government that just said, this is the way it's going to be, and I don't care what anybody else says. We don't have that, but we have one that's a lot better than we have had for many a year. Are we church regular? Well, I don't know how it's going when I'm here, but whenever I'm there, the services are still going on. Regularly, every Saturday, myself and the men in the church would meet up for a bite of breakfast at the local Golden Arches restaurant. I see them everywhere over here. And then there's a couple of the men that used to reach out with us, but they can't anymore because of ill health. And then the men that can, we will go around the housing areas and we will put leaflets in through people's doors, which is, I know it's different here. You have to actually speak to someone, but and if you touch that mailbox, like the FBI or someone will land on top of you. I'm not allowed to do that, which is all well and good, but we get to go round the doors and we get to actually stop and talk to people about Jesus and challenge them about where they're going to be spent in their eternity. And then, on a Sunday afternoon, let me give you a little bit of background. I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to give you a gift today. I'm not talking about the candy. I'm going to give you a short service. Sorry, a shorter than usual service. every Sunday, whenever I was a lad, the only places that ever had vehicles parked outside of them were churches. Isn't that right? You could tell how big a church was by the number of cars that were parked outside. And I got to thinking about this as I was leaving people home from church in the car. And I used to say, as we passed this mall that opened at noon, we would be passing at about 1 p.m. There's the biggest church in Derry. The car park that, oh goodness, upwards of maybe 1,000 or more vehicles could be parked in. And I used to say to the folks as we were going home, there's the biggest church in Derry. Look at all the cars parked outside of it. And I said this for months, and then one day I said, do you know what every church needs? They need a preacher. And I hadn't gone 100 yards in the car, and the Lord said, well, Pastor, what do you be doing on a Sunday afternoon? So on a Sunday afternoon, we take a loud hailer and we go, well, I go, and my wife, sometimes she makes me a cup of tea and sends it with me or comes with me, but definitely prays for me. We go, and for as long as I can preach, we preach a message to all of the people that go shopping. I am sure many of them are not happy. But maybe it's a bit like ordinary churches. Many people aren't happy by the time the pastor's done here either. But I'm sure many of them are not happy. I saw a wee gentleman standing outside with one of the malls with a sign, honk if you love Jesus. And a lot of people were honking their horns. Sometimes people honk at me. I know if it's a long one, they're not happy. If it's a short one, they are happy. But those are the things that we do, and we take opportunities. I was just enjoying the weather, and I must thank again you all for your warm welcome and the Lord for keeping the weather sensible at Northern Irish temperatures. I thank the Lord we're able to be out, and it's about this time of year we go into the town for a solid week with the megaphone again and the loud hailers, and we encourage the people just to take a gospel tract or two and to hand them out and even put them in magazines and doctor's surgeries. And is anybody here ever troubled by those prank calls or telling you your computer's faulty and they're from Microsoft and they're always annoying you? Well, do you know what? There's hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts have gone into our town with my number on the back of it. And I have received maybe two or three calls in 15 years. And I was reminded, even as I said that, about the church in Revelation that dwelt where Satan's seat is. And that's what Derry is, because it is the homosexual capital, definitely of Northern Ireland and possibly of Europe. And we would really, and that does, a thing like that just doesn't happen by accident. There has to be a fertile ground for behaviour like that. And this is the town that we live in. It wouldn't think twice about opening a gay sex club in the middle of a town without planning permission, in spite of all of the proof. And I could go on and on about this, but I want to thank you for your help. I know there are prayers that come our way. I want to thank you for the very gracious gift that the church sent our way to enable us to be here. I just want to thank you. Amen. The work does go on. People's hearts are hard, but folks are folks no matter where you go. And I know there's a great need in America too, but please do pray for us in Northern Ireland. Amen. Pray for the church as well, that it's still there whenever I go back. But there's a new roof on, so there shouldn't be a difficulty there. But pray for young Christopher, a young man that was crashing and burning and came to church to get a laptop fixed, and he got his life fixed instead.
Amen.
So instead of failing out of school and everything, he is now in university studying to be a doctor of computer science, simply because he chose to follow what the Lord said. Pray for him, and pray for a lady I pray is called Sandra. The Lord knows her needs. Now, I am down to about 18 minutes, and there's going to be a genuine Baptist miracle here. I am going to be finished in 18 minutes. But I would like to read to you. I've got a message here, and it'll not take very long. I've got a little Bible reading from Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 20. And I've got a title for the message. I don't know if you use titles for the message, but I like to use titles for my message. And this one's called Just a Pile of Stones. From Joshua chapter 20, and we're going to read the last five verses of this portion of God's Word. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, and for each and every soul that is here today. And I do pray you, Lord, that you would bless the message from Pastor Hain, from Brother Dale, from myself, and all the activities, the food, the fellowship, Lord, just our time here together. That you would take and put it upon our hearts to use not just this time wisely, but the rest of our lives wisely. We love you and thank you. Bless us now, Lord. Open our understanding and help everybody to follow me. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I shared with somebody, and I think it must be a failing of pastors that you forget stuff whenever you're standing in the pulpit. But I have had this message on my heart for over 7 months. I think whenever we heard that, Brother Dale, whenever we heard that it was coming up to Pastor and Mrs. Haynes' 50th year in the ministry, this message has stuck with me. I preached it, and then I heard it, and then I thought, you know what, that would just be the very message to bring if I was over in America. And here I am, and here it is. As we read this portion of God's word, we are just listening to or seeing the fulfillment of God's instruction to Joshua to take a bunch of stones out of the middle of the Jordan and set them up in Gilgal. And this was to be a testimony, a monument, so that when any of the people's children saw these stones and asked, what do those stones mean? Their parents, who had experienced these things firsthand, would be able to say, God did many mighty things, but most specifically, he made the Jordan stand up on its sides until we got through it, just like he did on the Red Sea. And I got to thinking about that and wondering even, why would somebody say, what do those stones mean? Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, anyone ever skimmed stones over a river or through the sea? What do you ever notice about the stones that are by a waterside? They tend to be very smooth. And something else about those stones, they could come from miles away. It could be a completely different coloured stone sitting on that riverbank than you would see from digging up a yard or even in the mountains around and about you. And I got to thinking, these stones had to be different. All smooth, maybe all very flat, because that's what happens whenever the stones rub against each other. And maybe even different colours and different fabrications. I don't know what the composition, I'm not a geologist. I don't know what the stone composition would have been back then, but it would have been different. And it would have drawn people's attention to it, and they would have said, what does that mean? And I got to thinking about those and all the things, not just we got across the Jordan. It wasn't just that, because the Lord actually spoke way back to the Red Sea 40 years previously. But the Lord just doesn't want us remembering the things that he did for us yesterday or even today. In the case of the children of Israel, their parents were to tell them about the victories that they fought and won, sometimes in many cases at some cost to themselves, against the giants in the land. And it wasn't even just the fact that their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Or it wasn't even the fact that hundreds of thousands of the children of Israel were fed day in and day out in the wilderness. It wasn't the pillar of fire by night or the pillar of cloud by day. It wasn't just that either. Again, it wasn't the crossing of the Red Sea and the final nail in the coffin of the Egyptian Empire, the destruction of its military might. It wasn't the turning on the head of all the Egyptian gods and the ripping out of the hearts of the Egyptian people in the death of their firstborn. Things that needed to happen so that God's people could escape. It wasn't Moses the lawgiver or all the it wasn't just Moses the lawgiver and all the commandments that God gave him, or the 400 years prior to that, first of all of salvation, and then of great persecution. It wasn't even of the fathers of Israel, of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, and I want for you to know that Abraham knew Noah, and Noah knew Methuselah,
amen,
and Methuselah knew Adam.
Amen.
It wasn't even of the flood and the judgment of the whole world, or the creation of it. It was everything. He wants people to remember him in every situation and in all walks of life. And I know, if I asked anybody here, tell me all the verses of the Bible that you know, you'd probably go, oh goodness. But I do know the promise of God, that whenever you are on the spot, whenever you are delivered up, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the verses of Scripture that you have taken time to hide there.
Yes, sir.
We are to remember all of it. And the Holy Spirit, he has promised, will be our helper. Now, it seems like a lot to remember, and it is a lot to remember. And it is providential. Not providential. All these things work together, and the plans have been set in motion for a long time. Of all the things that were mentioned yesterday at Pastor, and can I just call you Mom and Dad? It seems to be, I'm saving three or four syllables. Whenever we went to Mom and Dad's, Pastor and Mrs. Haynes, 50th year in the ministry anniversary, there was a lot of stuff. There were a lot of churches influenced. There were certainly many souls that were influenced, ministered to, guided, and even guarded. Many sacrifices were made too. There's many times when you stand for God, you stand against the world.
Yes, sir.
And not it may cost you, it will cost
yes,
you.
Sir. That's right.
Many times their homes were opened, and people who were not family but became church family sat at the table and ate with them and spoke with them. The time, the money, and the blood, the sweat, and the tears. Time actually prohibits me from going into too many details on that. But I'm living, breathing proof of the sacrifices that have been made and the blessings that have been received, I pray. At least in cutting the grass. But you know what? It's all very well to think on, and I'm not making you someone to be worshipped. And please accept this in the right way. It's all very well to think good of our pastors,
yes, sir,
of our church leaders. And it's all very well and good to remember the things that they have done. But guess what, friends? The Lord calls upon us to set up a monument,
yes,
and a testimony to him,
yes, sir,
in our lives.
Amen. Yes.
Before you put together any building, you have to have a plan. And you have to have a solid foundation. And that first rock that's set down in our lives should always be Jesus Christ. It's not saying 1 Corinthians chapter, is it chapter 3? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, of course. And so when our children come and ask us, what do these stones mean in your life, Christian? Because there are many lives that have built edifices and they look wonderful. But there will come a day, those that are not founded upon Jesus Christ, whenever the hard times come, and they will, that they will fall, that they will be a ruin. And I have seen that many, many times. What do the other stones that make up that pile of stones, what do they represent? I've written these things down. They're not in any particular order, but I am sure we will all find at least a few in common. I pray many. What do people normally want to do after they're saved? They want to get baptized. I pray that a child can ask, what did your baptism mean, Dad? What did your baptism mean, Mom? And Mom or Dad will say, it meant that I obeyed Jesus and got baptized. I obeyed the Bible and got baptized. And I did that as a testimony to God. God, I'm going to obey you. And as a testimony against the world, the flesh, and the devil, when it said, we don't want you to obey God, I got baptized. And then as we go on, they say, well, what does that stone mean, Mom? What does that stone mean, Dad? I said, that's the Bible. Because after I got saved and baptized, I got stuck into the Bible. And everything else follows on from that. Because, does anybody here read their Bible? I would hope that, well, I put my hands up to encourage other people to put their hands up. You can do that. They're rhetorical questions. I'm not going to ask you anything. Does anybody study their Bible? Does anybody apply their Bible? Does anybody preach their Bible? And here's the rub. Does anybody sit down and memorize their Bible? Do you know those verses that God puts a neon sign on? Does anybody commit those to our memory? That's what we should be doing.
Yes,
and when one of your kids or a little child, and I've heard it said, and I believe the same, we are all us big people, are all adults to all the wee people. Whenever they ask you, what does that stone mean? And you say that is the time I spent in prayer and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I needed it, and probably more than I got. And I'm going to go on a bit harder here and a bit faster. What does that stone mean? They will ask you. Say, that's my church attendance. I needed to be there. In fact, Jesus said, be there when the doors are open. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And there's, you might not think it at the moment, but I've got a bit of a sore throat. And when somebody, when one of these little ones says to you, what does that stone mean? And you can say, that's when I lifted up my praises to God. Just like he said, make a joyful noise. I hope I'm not getting carried away and you're losing a lot in the translation. When they say, what does that stone mean? You say, that's where I loved your mom, or that's where I loved your dad. That's when I raised you up the best way I could in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's why you're taking time to say, what does that stone mean? When they say, what does that stone mean? In that same portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. Their souls pointed to the foot of the cross. Souls that you prayed for, and maybe even prayed with, as they accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what those stones mean. And when they say, what does that last stone mean? You can say to them, that is my ongoing faithfulness to keep looking out for and building up with the same stones that you have already pointed out. I am going to keep on going.
Amen.
That is to be not just a series of unrelated events. Because if people look at our lives, sometimes we do the craziest things. We do. Can you imagine reaching into your pay packet and putting a tenth of it into the church? Why would you do that? Why would you not put spoilers on your car and alloy wheels? Why would you not do that? It's because of that first stone. Because we accepted Christ as our Savior. And because he not just asked. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. In fact, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It is his command. To the Lord, all of these stones is just not a pile of rubble that somebody pulled out of the bottom of a river. These are the testimonies, the mainstay and the backbone, not just of us as individuals, but of our families. And do you know what? If we can get our families right, we could get our communities right. And if we could get our communities right, we could get our countries right. I know the Bible says, and I've seen it, that there is a great falling away. But it doesn't have to be you. And I'm not saying it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you.
Man,
good. It is to be a testimony. And like those stones, when people ask us, they'll say, hey, those things stand out as different. Someday somebody who's not even saved might ask you, why do you do that in your life? And when people say things like that, you clap your hands together and say, Lord, do you remember that promise where you would give me every single Bible verse and I wouldn't be stuck for something to say? I'm holding you to that now. Just give me everything this person needs. Then you get the opportunity to show that it is not just a pile of stones sitting there in a corner. But that is a testimony, a monument to what God can do with a soul that will give their lives to him.
Amen.
It's not just a pile of stones, friends. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much indeed. God bless you.